to you? Great. Happy New Year. Is anyone here this morning here for the first time or visiting us as a guest? Could you please put a hand in your air if you're here, hand in the air if you're here for the first time? Great. We've got a few guests and visitors with us. Could we please just give our guests a big welcome? Thank you. It's so good to have you with us this morning. My name is Chris, and I'm a part of the team here at Christchurch. I've been here just nearly 5.5 years, I guess, something like that. And this week marks a couple of significant things for me. It always marks my sort of anniversary of being involved in church ministry full-time, and this year marks 11 years of full-time church ministry, which is great. It also marks my birthday. Yeah, that's right. I am 34. No one knew how to respond to that. It's like, I don't know if he looks 34 or he looks younger. I'm hoping you think I don't look 34. I don't feel 34 anyway. I wanted to show you a birthday card that I got from my parents. For any of you happy IKEA shoppers, I wanted to show you this card. It's a really great card. It says, it's a blueprint of IKEA, which is a maze that is impossible to get around, which is, I think, true of IKEA. And it has the entrance up here and the exit right next to the entrance. And a little blue dot there, which you can't see probably, but it says the blue dot is things you need to buy, which is right by the exit, which is also right by the entrance, which I thought was really excellent. So thank you to my parents for that. If you're new or you haven't been around for a while or you've forgotten, we as a church team have felt a significant call to put together a year's worth of teaching framed around this phrase, a year of growth. We believe that God has called us into a year of growth. And we started that at both our 10 and 5 gatherings last term. And we've covered a number of different things. We've covered a series on the language of growth. And we talked about a few things in that series. We've also unpacked a little series of teaching on fathering and forgiveness. And today marks the start of a three-week series on what we're calling setting yourself up to thrive. And we already touched on some of that with Jock and Katie in their interview, which is just wonderful. If you want to catch up with some of that stuff or you've not engaged with it at all yet, then you can find a load of resources for it on our website. And we really, really encourage you to do that at some point. Brilliant. Just while I get myself set up, I want to ask you a question. Are you a New Year's resolution maker? If so, why? In terms of how you answer that question. So why are you, or maybe why aren't you? Turn to the person next to you, ask them that question. You don't have to say what your New Year's resolution is if you don't want to, okay? You've got 2 minutes. Okay, let's bring it back together. So as we head into a new calendar year, and I always feel like it's really important to mark new seasons in life and particularly New Year's. I think in church it's really important to mark New Year's, of which I think we have two in church. We have an academic New Year in September, and we also have a calendar New Year, which is right now. And I think it's really important to mark both New Year's. And we're heading into this series, which we're calling Setting Yourself Up to Thrive. And just as by way of introduction, I want to just mention two things which are going to be foundational to this series of teaching throughout all 3 weeks. And then I'm going to unpack specifically what I'm going to share this morning with you. So firstly, when it comes to thriving, we believe that God has designed us to thrive. It is his desire for us to thrive. Since the beginning of time, from the Garden of Eden all the way through, it is his desire for humans to thrive. He wants us to thrive. Life with God is a partnership. And we believe strongly that our partnership with God is a big part in our thriving. Learning to listen, to recognize his voice is a big part of that. And we're going to begin to unpack some of that this morning in a few minutes' time. In our reading, which we're going to get to in a minute, which is from John 10, there's this section of it which says that the sheep hear the voice of the shepherd and they follow him. They hear his voice and they follow him. That word in the original translation, to follow, is made up of two words. The first part means union. The second part means a road. And so to follow Jesus, to follow the voice of the shepherd, literally means to walk in union with, to be on the same road with. And isn't that what discipleship is all about? Life with Jesus, at its core, is an ongoing journey of union. It's an ongoing journey of union. So firstly, God has designed us to thrive. Secondly, we believe that first and foremost, we are designed to thrive internally. Okay? Now I'm going to unpack that before you shout me down. First and foremost, we're designed to thrive internally. It would be easy to hear the title, Setting Yourself Up to Thrive, and extrapolate from that what we're talking about is that setting yourself up to thrive, it's all about your life going well on the outside. Thriving is all about everything working out, all the plans taking shape, everything going well. And that's not what it's like, is it? Because we know from our experience, as some of us in this room, both present and past, that thriving isn't necessarily about everything going well in our life. And so first and foremost, we believe that thriving is about an internal reality. If we were to look at a number of New Testament scriptures, and indeed Old Testament scriptures, there's that verse in the Old Testament which says that man looks on the outside, but God looks at the heart. God is interested in the internal. If we were to unpack some New Testament scriptures, Galatians 5 and the fruit of the Spirit, and 1 Corinthians 13, that famous passage on love, and we look at all the characteristics that are named in those key New Testament passages, they are firstly internal realities. Love is patient, love is kind, the fruit of the Spirit, all of those things, they are first internal realities. Now, it's important to say that all of these things have an external outworking. So your patience and your kindness, you're not keeping a record of the people that you love, their wrongs, keeping a record of their wrongs. They all have external outworkings, but they first start as an internal reality. It's very difficult to sustainably be patient and kind and exercise the fruit of the Spirit if it's not an internal reality first. And so we believe that your thriving is first and foremost an internal reality that translates externally. Okay? So by way of introduction, number one, God wants us to thrive, and that best takes shape in partnership with him. Number two, that we are designed to first and foremost thrive internally. Now, this morning, what I want to begin to unpack is two things, really. I want to talk about habits, and I want to talk about hearing. Habits and hearing. And I want to use one practical tool, which is going to be time, to kind of overlap both those two things. Okay, so we're going to look at a practical thing of time, and we're going to unpack habits and hearing. But first of all, we're going to read the Bible. So if you've got a Bible with you, can I encourage you to turn to John chapter 10? If you have not got a Bible with you and you would like one, could you throw your hand up in the air and some of the welcome team will bring one round to you. Brilliant. Just keep your hands in the air until you get one. And it will also be on the screens, which is going to be good. Okay. I'm going to start. John chapter 10. Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." And that last part, that very famous, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full," is one of the clearest descriptions of the heart of God for your thriving. Jesus says he came to give you life and to give it to you in its fullness, overflowing, superabounding, fullness of life. So, number one, habits. Out of interest, how many New Year's resolution makers do we have in the room? Put your hand in the air for me. Really? That's amazing. Hardly anyone. Isn't that interesting? I was expecting loads of people. Wow. That's really surprised me. I am generally not. I actually have made some this year, but I won't tell you what they are unless you want to know later. But how many of you also know that it can be really hard to make a habit or break a habit? It can be really hard to make or break a habit. Not just a resolution, but a habit. It can be really hard to make or break a habit. September 2017 was a month of key habit breaking in the Whitwell household. We were breaking two habits, really, I guess. And first habit we were trying to break was our children. Is that working? Yeah, sorry. The first habit we were trying to break was our children coming into our bed at nighttime. Now we love that they come into our bed, but it got to a point where it needed to stop. So we were trying to break the habit. The second habit we were trying to break was that Raffi was absolutely addicted to her dummy. And I don't know if any other parents use dummies. If you didn't, don't look at me with judgment eyes. I'm sure you've used them in the past. We used them. They actually were great. But Raffi got to the point where she was definitely too old to have a dummy. Jane, who's there, she runs preschool. She wouldn't allow Raffi to have a dummy in preschool. So we had to kick it out. Yeah, sorry, that wasn't a blame. I wasn't blaming you for that. That came out wrong. So two habits. Now, it can be really hard to break a habit, particularly when a habit is particularly ingrained in you. Now, Jessica, who is our six-year-old, she's now six, she used to come into our bed every night, pretty much all her life. I mean, she just used to come into our bed. And it was so ingrained in her that she would get out of her bed, and she would do it all pretty much asleep. She would get out of her bed, and she would open her door, and she would close her door, and she would walk along to our bedroom, she would open our door and close our door, and she would climb into bed with us, and she would do it all pretty much asleep. She wouldn't be awake. And if you were to notice her doing it, and you were still awake, she would just be wandering around, and she'd be pretty much asleep. She wouldn't even really have her eyes open. It'd be so ingrained in her. We would often wake up in the morning and not even realize that she'd come into our bed. It got so ingrained. We loved it. In so many ways, we loved her coming into our bed, but it had to stop. It had to stop. So we bought bunk beds as a pre-reward for our children for not coming into our beds. I'll get to that in a minute. The second habit was the dummy, and that was bad. Now, Jessica used dummies as well, and Raffi and Jessica are really different. Jessica used to have like 5 dummies in her cot at nighttime, just in case one fell out, she could just kind of fumble around and grab another one. And she just loved them. Rafi just has one, and she would just kind of keep that one thing, and she'd love it. But that had to stop too. Now with Rafi, what we had to do is we just had to tell her that thing's going in the bin now. But we didn't just do that. We also gave her a reward for doing it. So we ordered, she loves shoes and bags. I don't know why she loves shoes and bags. Well, actually, I love shoes and bags, so it's fine. It's probably me. So we ordered her a bag as a reward, and it came. And the day that we rewarded her was the day that she threw her dummy in the bin. Now, when you break a habit like that, it can be quite easy until you get to the point where you need the dummy again. And it becomes hard. Now, Jessica, miraculously, and it was a miracle, suddenly decided to make up her mind that she would never come into our bed again. She had her bunk beds, and she decided, I'm never going to come in again. Now, it took a while for that to take shape, but suddenly she just decided. Now, it can be really hard to make or break a habit, but let me tell you this. It can also be much easier than you think to make or break a habit, depending on your perspective. The Bible talks a lot about the power of your mind and your perspective on the things that you do and the way that you live really matters. It can be hard to make or break a habit, but it can also be much easier to make or break a habit depending on your perspective. Now remember, life with Jesus is about an ongoing journey of union. It's about a lifetime of walking down the same road together. That's what that means, to follow Jesus, walking down the same road together. It's a lifetime. A lifetime. Time being the important factor there. It can take time to make and break habits. And so often, because of the disposable world and culture we live in, we don't give ourselves the time to do it. Now, I don't know what your perspective of time is. I often feel that we have a really negative perspective of time because our language around time is often so negative. If you were to analyze your language around time, I wonder what you might find. Phrases like, oh, there's just never enough time. If only I had more time too, dot, dot, dot. Sorry to let you down, I just ran out of time. Have I said this? Time's just against me today. Time's just against me. I think we have a really negative rhetoric around time in our culture. Thing is that God is the author of time, which makes time one of your best friends. If God is the author of time, time is one of your best friends, depending on your perspective. We were on staff retreat in September, and we were looking at the story of the feeding of the 5,000, which is a moment in time where actually Jesus is interrupted in his kind of daily activity. And as we were studying it, Paul Langham, who's our vicar, he'll be back next week and he'll be preaching next week. He said this phrase, which is really, really true. And he said, good habits can survive interruption. Good habits can survive interruption. Now, Jesus had a habit of making time for his Father, spending time with his Father, spending time with God, being together. That ongoing journey of union. Time. That good habit survived the interruption of a lot of people. And there are multiple times in the life of Jesus where we see that he is interrupted, but good habits can survive interruption. That famous verse in our reading, verse 10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and life to the full. I wonder, when it comes to time this year, or even as you reflect on last year, where could you see the thief stealing, killing, and destroying your time? Where do you see that in your life? Are there things that you can see now in the way that you operate with time where the thief is stealing, killing, and destroying your time? I want to give you two practical suggestions this morning. Number one, make some positive moves towards time with your habits. Make some positive moves towards time with your habits. It could be that you begin to shift your language around time, and every time you catch yourself negatively speaking about time, you begin to shift that. That'll take time. It could be that you make some new decisions about the way your diary works and your calendar works, and you actually create some space in your diary this year. You give yourself time. And I don't know for you where you're at with things like habits. I don't know if you're in a place where you need to make some habits. I don't know if you need to break some habits at the beginning of a new year. But make sure you give yourself time. Time is so important. Give yourself the time. Okay. Number two. Hearing. I want to read to you verses 2-5 of this passage again. So if you've got your Bibles, then please just have a quick look. Verse 2 says, "The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." I'm coming into this year. I don't know how you're coming into this year. I'm coming into this year in a very different place to how I started this time last year. Around September 2016, I felt really strongly that God said to me that he was going to increase the pace of my life. Which is a really interesting word to receive from God. But I retrospectively felt like that was absolutely true, because there was no way I could have sustained the amount of things I was doing had he not given me that capacity to do it. So I felt like he said he was going to increase the pace of my life. And then it came to mid-November 2016. And there was this one week where I said to two different people on two separate occasions this phrase. I said, "I feel like I need to change my Sunday, Monday, Tuesday routine because it's too intense." I said that exact phrase to two different people on two different occasions. "I need to change my week in this way because it's too intense." Time elapsed and I kind of forgot that I'd even said it. And I got to the beginning of December and I began to notice some, some negative changes in the way I was living life, both at home and both at home and at work. I found that I was experiencing some strange changes in my character, I think. And I wasn't noticing what I'd been saying to myself in mid-November. It got to mid-December, and those things had morphed and developed and changed even more, to the point where I wasn't really recognizing the changes as much anymore. But I got to the point where, particularly in church life, where I didn't want to lead anymore. I didn't want to be at the front anymore. I had this sort of runaway mentality from leadership. I just wanted to disappear. I actually said to Paul at one point, "Please just don't put me at the front. I don't want to be at the front. I'll do anything at the back, but just don't put me here." And I got to a point where in small ways, there were some very small signs of burnout in me. Very small. Now, I got to Christmas Day, and we were here in church on Christmas Day, and it got to the point where I felt anxious about being in the building. I'd never experienced this ever in my life. Never, ever. It was a very strange thing to experience. But I was nervous about even being here. And so I took a break, and we got away for holiday. And when we were in the Christmas break, I remembered the thing that I'd said to those two people in mid-November, which was, "I need to change my Sunday, Monday, Tuesday routine because it's too intense. I can't sustain it anymore." And I remembered the thing that I'd said, and I realized that I had not recognized the voice of God in my life to me at that point. Because yes, he had said in September to me that he was going to increase the pace of my life. And looking back, I felt like he said to me in mid-November, and now it's time to slow down. But I didn't recognize his voice. Now, when I got to January last year, my thriving, setting myself up to thrive, was a very practical thing. And it was just clearing out my Wednesday mornings. I blocked out my Wednesday mornings. I didn't do anything with them. Just cleared them out. I didn't do anything. I probably read and, I don't know, play computer games or something. I don't know. I didn't do anything. Those Wednesday mornings were invaluable to me in my thriving and my continuation of thriving with God. And it got to the point, a couple of months later, I think it probably was, I realized I didn't need it anymore. I found I was putting meetings in Wednesday mornings. I didn't need those things anymore. Now, do you recognize the voice of God in your life? Now, don't be put off by that phrase, the voice of God. I know that some people get really put off by the phrase, the voice of God, because it can feel intimidating. Please don't be put off by that this morning. We have a really broad perspective of the way in which God speaks to us. Do you recognize the voice of God? Because following Jesus, following the shepherd, that ongoing journey of union, discipleship, hearing the voice of the shepherd is absolutely critical to our ability to follow him. What does it say? The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. At the beginning of this year, do you recognize and know the voice of Jesus in your life? Now, our practical tool, remember, is time. Good habits can survive interruption. Jesus gave time to and invested in his ongoing journey of relationship with his Father. And I know many of us do that. But at the beginning of this year, when it comes to hearing the voice of God, which we believe is critical to our ability to follow him, are you giving yourself the space and the time to recognize and listen to his voice? Do you know what he's saying? We have some good friends who messaged us the other day and just said to us, hey, We feel like we'd love to know what God might be saying to us at the beginning of this new year. Could you guys please pray for us and let us know what you think God says? That'd be a really good thing to do at the beginning of a new year. Do you recognize and know the voice of Jesus at the beginning of this new year? So, two practical suggestions. Number one, create some time in your life, in your month, in your week, in your days, in your life, in your months, in your weeks, and in your days to hear God's voice. Put it in your diary. Set reminders on your phone. Whatever you need to do, be practical about it. But create space and create time to recognize and listen to the voice of Jesus. And number two, why don't you ask a close friend or some close friends at the beginning of this year to pray for you at the beginning of 2018? Ask them to hear God for you and say, God, what do you think you're saying to us this year? See what might come back. Two practical suggestions. So let me just take you back through where we've been. Number one, in introduction, God wants you to thrive. It's his desire and his design for you to thrive. And it best works in partnership with him. Number two, we believe that first and foremost, we're designed to thrive internally. And those internal realities outwork themselves externally. Check out Galatians 5, 1 Corinthians 13, and other passages in the New Testament which talk about character. It is firstly an internal reality. And then habits. Two practical suggestions. Number one, make some positive moves towards habits and time. Give yourself the time to make or break some habits this year. Number two, give What did I say? Yeah, your language, change your language around time. Look at the way you talk about time. Look at the way you make decisions in your diary. And hearing, number one practical suggestion, create time in your life, your month, your week, your day to hear God's voice. And number two, ask some people around you to pray for you at the beginning of the year to see what he's saying. Hearing, recognizing, and listening to the voice of God is critical in our ability to follow him in our ongoing journey of union. And that's what discipleship's all about. Next week, Paul's going to be preaching. He's going to talk about our thriving in terms of scripture. And Jock mentioned that earlier on in his interview about the significance of our thriving in our reading of scripture. And Paul's going to be talking about that next week, so please do check that out. Can I ask you to stand? We're going to pray together as we begin to close. And I invite the worship team to come too. We've prepared the kids' teams just to be a few minutes later this morning because we had a lot to fit in. So don't worry if you've got kids to pick up. They know we're going to be a bit later this morning. There could be a whole bunch of things that has struck you this morning. I don't know what it might have been. It might even be the understanding that God wants you to thrive. You may not be someone who believes that this morning, and that's okay. But we'd love to pray for you for that you might believe that God wants you and desires you to thrive this year. It might be stuff on habits or the voice of God. It could be any number of things. But what I'm going to ask you to do is just to pause for a couple of seconds. Just pause. Take stock and just take a moment just to recognize the promptings from what we've done this morning, the things that have struck you. Just take a moment to recognize those things. And as we close in a second with some final bits of worship, I just want to take a bit of time to pray for people, particularly around this practical element of time. Okay? So in a sec, I'm going to ask you if for you, you know that this issue of time is an issue, that be it your language around it, be it the way that you perceive time, whatever it is around time, if you know that for you, that's a significant thing. In a second, all I'm just going to ask you to do, just place a hand on your heart. We're going to pray for you very specifically. And then we'll finish with some worship together, okay? Yeah. Let's pray. So if for you that's relevant, that time, you feel that time thing is right for you, just place a hand on your heart for me, and we'll take a moment to do that. Thank you. That's good. Father, at the beginning of a new calendar year, we ask that you would speak to us about your design of time in our lives. Thank you that you are the author of time. Thank you that it's in your hands. Father, we pray for a transformation of our perspective around time this year. We pray that we'd make really positive choices and decisions in our calendars and our diaries. We pray that our language around time would begin to change. We invite your Holy Spirit to come and do a work of transformation in our lives this year, at the beginning of a new year. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, we're going to finish just by worshiping together. And then Neil will come and close us off.